This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Lay your head down on my shoulder, don't hold it in your hands. Tell me all your troubles and I'll try to understand. I know your heart's still tender and I know that it still hurts. But things can only get better when it seems they can't get any worse. Hold on to me, I won't let you go. You'll be okay, so hold on.
Hello and welcome to the Fighting Stigma Show here on Free FM 89.0, and also on Raglan Community Radio, Arrow FM, Otago Access Radio, and Radio Kidnappers. I'm your host today, Vanessa, and I am in the studio, but only just awake because I managed to have one of those nights where you only have 3 hours sleep. Oh, it's just one of those times where like you're just lying in bed and it's not like I'm reading or watching something or I'm anxious or my thoughts are running around. My body just feels like it's the middle of the day. It's just not sleepy. It's not wired. It's just alive. And so it's a whole thing. So what I thought would be really nice to talk about today is rest. Like, how do we rest? What are the things we do that are restful if sleep is not something we're able to do? I know Heiser in the past has done at least one, if not two, episodes on the seven types of rest, which is amazing. And I totally recommend that you look up the Free FM website, freefm.org.nz, and look up Fighting Stigma and have a look for the types of rest or seven types of rest episode or episodes. I can't remember if it took two. It may have been only one. And have a listen to that because it was just really, really great. But today I'm going to talk about like just how to rest your body and mind when you're just not able to sleep, but that is the thing you're aiming for, because it's one of those things, isn't it? Like, you know, anyway, before I get into all the juiciness, because that's so a sign that I haven't had enough sleep, I want to jump forward. Let's have a quick word about our sponsor, Progress to Health. Progress to Health believes in creating communities without barriers, and to achieve that we tailor supports to adults experiencing mental health and or disabilities based on their goals to encourage recovery, independence and community involvement. Progress to Health has teams that provide peer support, recovery education, workshops, employment preparation and support, including navigation with other services. Service users are allocated a community support facilitator on referral depending on their goals to mental recovery and achievement. We have offices in Hamilton, Tokoroa and New Plymouth. So if that sounds like something you or someone you know might be interested in and you are in the Waikato DHB region, Taranaki or Taupō, then have a listen to this ad I'm about to play for Progress to Health and get in touch with us.
At Progress to Health, we provide a range of support for those who have experienced mental illness. People who have dealt with mental illness and associated disabilities are supported holistically to maximise their potential. We want to empower your journey to recovery. Check out our website, www.progresstohealth.org.nz, or call us free on 0800 77 57 57.
Now, don't stress if you missed any of those contact details for Progress to Health and you think, hey, talking to Progress to Health might be something very helpful for myself or for someone else, you know. I do play that ad again at the end of the show, so stick around, grab a pen and paper, and you'll be able to grab all those contact details and to reach out to Progress to Health. Okay, so now that I've done all the bits that I need to do, we can jump into talking about how do we rest our bodies and minds when we're just not able to sleep. Because it's not really, we're not really wanting to talk about sleep hygiene, though we will touch on a little bit. Like, so that whole idea of the things we do to help our sleep hygiene is those, all the things we do to help ourselves get to sleep. So it's like not watching, not having caffeine after a certain amount of time of the day, which is different for everybody. Not having, like, not watching screens or full on movies and things, like, up to an hour before you go to try and go to sleep, like making sure you get some sunshine first thing in the morning if you're able to, and those sort of things. And that's sleep hygiene. We're not really talking about that so much. Like, I mean, every one of us will probably have an idea about those things that make a difference for us, the things that help us get to sleep, right? And sometimes I'm wanting to talk about the times we've done all the things we could do that normally would work, like we should just be asleep, and for whatever reason we're awake, and it's still the middle of the night and we're wanting to be asleep because we know the next day is going to be absolutely diabolical if we don't manage to get to sleep, but for whatever reason we're awake. And I always find that this is more a case of, like, it's definitely not racing brain. Like, you're not having that kind of anxious, cyclical thinking, intrusive thoughts sort of stuff, which, because then you have, like, breathing exercises, distraction techniques. There might be coping strategies you find. Maybe you're actually doing a little bit of a deep dive, kind of like a layered questioning kind of exercise to try and find out what the thing is that's having the cyclical thinking or the intrusive thoughts happen, and then you could see if you could find some way that you could put forward, like, okay, so I'm really stressed about money, so what I'm going to do is, like, you know, I'm going to write down three things that I really want to organize with money, so then I will go talk to a budget advisor later this week if I can. So, because those are kind of like steps to help those intrusive thoughts, or if it's just general anxiety, like, you know, you will have coping strategies that help. We're talking about different stuff to that. It's that time where it's 3 a.m., but your body's acting like it's midday, that you're in just the middle of your normal awake cycle and you're not sleepy at all, right? And I have one of the most amazing things I learned from a friend of mine who has chronic insomnia is that the power of rest is that even if you don't sleep, physically lying down with your eyes shut and just breathing normally is actually quite recuperating. It's nowhere near as good as like having, like, so if you do that for an hour or two, it's going to be really good. Obviously, it's not going to be as good as 7 or 8 hours full on sleep, right? We're not talking about that, but it's way, way better than nothing. So as much as sometimes we feel like, well, what's the point of me lying there with my eyes shut, just breathing? Like, I'm not falling asleep. Like, because sometimes that's the thing we do to try and help us get to sleep, right? We kind of fake it till we make it with going to sleep, for lack of a better term. Because we just lie down and kind of do all the body actions like we are asleep, right? Like, our eyes are shut, we sort of slow down our breathing, we're warm and comfortable, and it's kind of like faking being asleep. And the idea of that we will fall asleep, this is separate to that. It's the same action, so it looks, will definitely feel the same, but the just lying and resting, having regular breaths, having your body being comfortable, like, that is the aim, right? Because what actually happens, and I don't know the science behind it, but I know that people do know what the science behind it is, so if you wanted to have a look up, you'd be able to find some research about it, that whole, like, being horizontal, like having your body not being under any stress or have to be doing any activity, that your eyes are shut, so you're not having any, like, input into it, that you have relaxed breathing, so it's not, you're not doing a breathing exercise, because sometimes when we're doing a breathing exercise, it's, there's a lot of thought process to it, because we're actually doing a very specific count of breathing or whatever you're doing, you're paying really close attention. So if you're just breathing naturally, quite often what happens is the body relaxes in a different way than it does in other times. And so it can just make such a difference. And I have to say that I did that for a good 2 hours last night. Like, just, it was, I kind of did have a little bit of a giggle at one point because I started feeling like the whole, that joke saying that someone's come up with, and I'm not sure who, of your bed is this, just the shelf you put your body on when you're not using it, which is just so funny because it's the whole idea of, like, oh, I'm not using my body, so I'm just going to lie it down on this thing and leave it there until I need it again. And because I was really aware of lying flat, and I was like, getting comfortable and I was just breathing and I had my eyes shut, I was quite aware of my body. So, because normally I fall asleep pretty quick. So I had a couple of hours where I was just lying and being and just breathing and kind of occasionally doing a little bit of a stretch of some sore muscle, because I've reached that age in my life where I get random muscle cramps. And it's what I found was that made a real difference. So then obviously at some point about 5 a.m. I managed to fall asleep and I woke up at my 8 o'clock alarm. I know I had a 7:30 alarm. I vaguely remember turning it off, but it didn't wake me at all. But I woke up at the 8 o'clock alarm. So I got just on or just over 3 hours sleep, which is not enough for me, like at all. And a lot of people, that would not be, even people with chronic insomnia, they may only get 3 hours sleep, but it's not enough for pretty much anyone. So it's not what we want for ourselves and it's not what the aim is, but I think doing that rest time can make such a huge difference. And then what I think can be really important is the next day, like so today, making sure I got out and got a bit of sunshine as early as I could. Obviously, it wasn't when the sun came up because I was still fast asleep at that point. But I actually stood leaning against my car for a good, I didn't manage 5 minutes, but I did maybe a good 2 or 3 minutes where I just had my eyes closed, my face turned up to have the sunshine on me. Not that it's super bright, bright sunshine, but there is some sunshine. And also, it's because our circadian rhythm, so the rhythm of our body that helps us know wake times and sleep times, which definitely helps us get to sleepy, right, and fall asleep and have good quality of sleep, is definitely triggered by having natural sunlight. And so if you're able to go out in the fresh air and get some sunlight in the morning, obviously this is predicated on, because I know we're in the middle of winter, that there is some sunshine, because there might be times that there's not going to be sunshine, right? So it's going to be a bit harder. But if you can manage it, and I feel like I get the number 7 in my head, so I feel like it's like 7 minutes is like really good. If you can do 20, it's great. I know some people who will go for a walk in the morning for about 20 minutes. And I know someone else who's like, no, that's too early in the day. I'm not going to go for a walk. But what they'll do is they'll go sit out in a chair outside of their house and just sit there and slowly drink their coffee or their cup of tea or however they start the day. And they'll just get some sunshine. And obviously, because it's so early in the day, and especially now at this time of year, because it's winter, you don't have to worry about the UV, so you don't have to worry about sunscreen and being outside for 20 minutes, which normally in the height of summer I wouldn't be telling you to do without a hat or sunscreen or something. So, yeah. And another thing that's really important is, like, when we manage to get some rest, like we've done that, just lie there and breathe and be. And then if we've managed to get some sleep and we got up the next day and we've got some sunshine and we've gone on with our day, now we're going to feel pants. Like, we're not going to feel good. I'm trying to find a radio appropriate word to use to describe, like, the not good that we feel when we have that lack of sleep. But the thing is that it's really important for us if we can manage to do as much as we can for the day. And if we do have a nap, don't have it more than an hour. Now, there is no scientific basis for that. That is just, I know that there's been lots of sleep studies, and if you look up a whole lot of sleep hygiene and a whole lot of sleep research, you'll probably find stuff that, and especially chronic insomnia research, you'll probably find stuff that tells you exactly kind of the amount of time that's really good. But from myself, from my experience, and like talking to friends who have, I have a couple of friends who have chronic insomnia, a couple of friends who have just episodic insomnia, and I have several people who just have bad sleep. They just don't have good sleep as a regular basis. And they've all talked about the importance of, if you have rest the next day, so if you're having just the lie down, be awake, but rest your body and your eyes, then you can do that for an hour or two. The thing that's really important is if you're actually having an actual sleep, it should only be about an hour or so, maybe an hour 20, because, and especially it needs to be finished before 3 p.m. because there's this whole thing about like what happens is when you're that level of tired and you go to sleep, and especially if your sleep cycle's now gone, hey, look, yes, sleep. Sleep's the thing we need. And it sets you in there for like a good 6 or 7 hours sleep. You are just going to screw up your entire circadian rhythm, your sleep cycle completely. Because if you do that at, say, 11 or 12 o'clock, you're going to sleep until dinner time, and then you're going to be awake all night. And, like, it's just not going to be great. So it's the same kind of idea as that people talk about when they go travelling and they go across the timeline. I have no words. The dateline. So it changes the time frame. So you have to kind of, like, you leave New Zealand and you get somewhere else. So you get to France and, like, the time is like earlier in the day than when you left, but it can make a really big difference to how quickly you get over jet lag, or maybe even how little jet lag you get, is if you manage to push through and just have an early night. So you actually sleep when you're in the new place at their regular time frames. And so it's the same idea as, like, you haven't travelled, but you've had lack of sleep overnight, or less sleep than is optimal. You've done some rest, you've done what you can, but then you're kind of sitting at home and you're like, okay, I need a nap. But if you set an alarm, it can make a really big difference. You might still feel crud when you wake up, but it will make a really big difference, because you're better off trying to push through and then have an early night so that your body actually kind of gets back into the rhythm of sleeping. Now, obviously being aware of if you're exceptionally overtired quite often, we can't fall asleep. I don't know if you've ever had that, where you're so tired that you get to the point where you can't sleep. I know it's something we talk about with children quite often. It's like toddlers especially, like, they'll be overtired and they now can't sleep. It's like you've lost the window for them to be able to get to sleep. And it's very similar. Some people talk about it as that same sort of scenario with being hungry. It's like you've gone so far past being hungry that you've got to not being able to eat stage. Like you're too hungry to actually be hungry, so you can't eat. But it's what, if you're having one of those days, so whether it's like the overnight thing or it's the next day when you're kind of needing to keep going, but you need to have some rest without having full on sleep, what are the things you know work for you? Like, is this something that you've come across before? Is this something that you've dealt with? How do you manage when you just feel like absolute pants and you're just, this is not okay, I can't manage my full on day, but I need to keep going? So maybe you have no physical spoons, like you just have no physical energy at all. But you have mental and emotional, like you have some like social, like, yeah, I'm happy to be around people. I can do some reasonable amount of thinking, like we're kind of getting there. What are the things that make a difference for you? Because it can be really good if you know yourself, know what helps. Because I know someone who, that if they're doing that kind of one and a half hours nap the next day after having a bad night's sleep, they won't do it in their bed. They'll do it on the couch or on the hammock or on their lazy boy chair with their feet up, because there's something about that they will actually, it's like their body goes, oh, this is only made for napping. Like, it's not made for a full sleep. So it's a lot easier for them to actually have that shorter period of time, and then they'll wake up feeling more refreshed. I know someone else who's like, if I'm going to have a nap or a rest, I need to do it out in the fresh air, which makes it really hard if it's winter and it's raining. But there's someone who, they've got an outdoor beanbag, which is this giant circle beanbag, that they'll just curl up and lie on, and their cat comes to join them, and they have a nice nap together. And that works, but it's the fresh air that seems to make a really big difference for them. But it's what makes a difference. Like, what is the restful behaviours, the restful activities you can do that just really help you kind of feel okay? Because it can be a really important thing that you might not know right now, right? Like, this may not have happened before, or you're just having such a hard time the day after not having enough sleep that you're like, I didn't pay any attention to any of that. Everything was just grumbling and complaining. And so you haven't been able to work it out yet. So it can be really good just to realize that and then sort of try and pay attention and try some stuff out, like consciously try some things out. And maybe it's a case of like asking the people around you, like if, especially if you've got a friend or family member who you know their experience of kind of unwellness, mental health, physical unwellness, like being tired, insomnia, any of those things, they seem to have quite a similar experience to you. Ask them how they cope with it. What are people's go-to for the day after a bad night's sleep? Like, what are the things that can make a real difference when you need to rest but you can't sleep? Because it can be really important just to do things that make a difference to us, right? So we can keep going, because it's ultimately we're just trying to get through to tonight so that we can have a good night's sleep tonight, hopefully, fingers crossed, touch wood, and then tomorrow will be a better day. Because we all know that if we've had a reasonable amount of sleep, we've had a good night's rest, the world is so much easier to tackle. Like, we can take on and get done a lot of the things that just feel overwhelming otherwise. So having a really clear plan and having a good idea about what you can do to help you rest if you're not able to sleep for whatever reason can make a big difference. I know a lot of people find there's gentle music or certain types of music. Other people like listening to podcasts. I know one of the most relaxing things, but it will always put me to sleep because I just get so relaxed and feel so comfortable, is lying down with my head in my girlfriend's lap while she's patting, like effectively patting my hair, but like running her fingers through my hair, and she might be reading out loud or listening to an audiobook, and it's just restful. It's so restful. But that's not available. Like, if she's at work and I'm at home during the day and I haven't had enough sleep, that's not something that I can make happen, right? And I have to be really careful if it's later on in the evening or it's like late afternoon, because I want to make sure I don't actually fall asleep, which if I will get quite rested and I will generally fall asleep. So I kind of have to be careful when I do those things. So knowing yourself, knowing what is good, what you need to kind of minimize the amount of time of. And the other thing that can be really important is that when you're managing like the day after a lack of sleep, is don't have too many stimulants. So don't have too much coffee, don't have too much vitamin B, don't tank yourself up with lots of sugar. Obviously, you're going to have a certain amount of those things first thing in the day while you're trying to get yourself up and moving, because actually there's no, you have no reserves, you have no kind of sleep kind of go juice. But like, maybe have a deal with yourself about, like, you know, once I get to 12 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm not going to have any caffeine or too much sugar or any of those, whatever the things are that you do that help you stay awake. Because what you need to do is not be so full of those that when you got to go to sleep later on, that you're just not able to, because it gets really, really risky to start a whole cycle of insomnia. So it's not great, which is not what we want for any of us. But sometimes it isn't just your body's awake. Sometimes it is that our brains are running away from ourselves and we're really anxious, or there's some really stressful things going on, or some challenging things that we just don't know how to tackle. And so what can make a really big difference is having a talk to someone. So what I'm going to do now is play a series of support lines. So if you need to reach out to talk to someone and there's no one nearby that you're able to or you feel comfortable talking to about whatever's going on, what the series of support lines is, a whole different series of different people, different organisations, and how they can help. So I give you the name of the organisation, the phone number, and when they're available, and kind of what support they're able to give. So grab a pen and paper and write some of these down. So if you need them in the future, you've got them. So the first support line that I want to give you is 1737. Now, that's pretty much what it's called. So Need to Talk, 1737. It's a free call or text service, and it's available 24/7, so 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you'll get to talk or text with a trained counsellor, and this service is completely free. So if you're feeling anxious or run down, depressed, needing to talk to someone, give them a call or give them a text. 1737.
The next number I want to give you is the Crisis Assessment Team, or CAT team, and their number is 0800 50 50 50. So that's assistance for people who are in crisis in the Waikato DHB region. So they're a crisis assessment team, they're part of the community mental health, so they are kind of like right up there with when things are going really, really wrong. It's very urgent care is needed around mental health. So that number again is 0800 50 50 50. The next number I want to give you is Lifeline. So Lifeline is an amazing service. It's a 24-hour telephone support service available for anyone needing emotional support. So 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now their number is 0800 543 354. And they have trained counsellors and just amazing people that you can have a talk to no matter what time of day it is. The next number I want to give you is the Depression Helpline. Now, the Depression Helpline is related to depression.org.nz. You may have seen some of their ads around, like the with John Kirwan. They have a whole lot of videos on the online service, but this is the phone line service. So Depression Helpline, 0800 111 757. Now, they're there if you just have someone, you need someone safe to talk to. They're available from 8 a.m. in the morning to midnight. And they're a really great service, just someone calm and like gentle to talk to about whatever's going on for you. Now, the next number I've got for you is not a mental health support line. It's actually the health line. So it's health information service for all the family, and it's staffed by registered nurses who will give information and advice. I have used this line. It's for general health, medical health, physical health, and it's really amazing because sometimes when things are going wrong with your body, you don't know what's happening. You're not sure if we need to go the ambulance route or you need to go to the hospital. They're trained nurses, so they will actually ask you a bunch of questions. You can answer them, and they'll let you know what you need to do, and it's a huge relief. So the Healthline number is 0800 611 116, and that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The next number I want to give you is the Suicide Prevention Helpline. Now, this is support, information and resources to people who are at risk of suicide and or the family of family or whānau and friends supporting them. Now, it's available from midday to midnight and their number is 0508 Tautoko, which is 0508 828 865. Now, don't stress if you missed any of those contact details. We play that at the end of every single show of Fighting Stigma. So come back next week and listen to us again. But that's all we've got time for today. So from us all here, take care.
At Progress to Health, we provide a range of support for those who have experienced mental illness. People who have dealt with mental illness and associated disabilities are supported holistically to maximise their potential. We want to empower your journey to recovery. Check out our website, www.progresstohealth.org.nz, or call us free on 0800 77 57 57.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.